Yeah, if the audio gets bad, let me know and I will change where I'm sitting.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Thank you. All right. Today we are joined season two of Real Talk, episode 10. We are joined by professional quarterback, NFL, XFL quarterback, Chad Kanoff. Chad, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And those of you who don't know Chad's background a little, so he was spent some time in the NFL for 2 years, the Cardinals, Lions, and then he was also in the XFL this past season. So that's my first question that I want to talk about with you is, what was it like to be a part of the XFL, obviously with it's making its come back as a league?
Yeah, it was a great experience. If you are in the NFL as a third quarterback, which I was on the practice squad and non, you don't get a lot of reps and you really only get to play in the preseason. So I was really looking forward to getting a lot of reps and getting to play, which I did get to do. And I was like, that was really fun. So I hadn't played in 2 years since college. It was well run. It was just normal football. And I would say that the talent was really good. It was a lot of good. There's a lot of good players that are just on the cusp of being in the NFL. That come on the bottom of the roster, I think, are somewhat interchangeable, and those guys are playing in the XFL, so it was a hungry league.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And what was it like being part of history a little when, you signed to the Guardians and then you were part of the first ever XFL trade?
I didn't actually know that,
Yeah, you were
but it was
first.
awesome. I'm from Los Angeles, so that was like a dream come true. I mean,
Right.
most of the XFL had started practicing in like November, and I hadn't because I was still on the Buccaneers. So then I signed over and practiced for like I think I had 10 practices with the Guardians, and then I got traded and I had like five with them and just go play. So it was like kind of like playing when you were younger. Like you just kind of go out there and play. It wasn't like a bunch of film study and diagramming.
Yep, absolutely. And then, so what was that first game like? I know there was a moment where you lost some communication with your offense coordinator. So what was that? I know that must have been a little bit hectic with, like you said, only having 10 practices and then losing that communication in the game. I know that must have been tough.
Yeah, I probably could have handled it a little better. Yeah, we'd had it go out in the scrimmage too, and he had me just calling plays. And then this time, whatever, it was, I thought, a pretty critical third down, and where the receiver's headset went out and my headset was out. So he's running the wrong route. I got sacked because he didn't hear the call, and that was really frustrating. And honestly, it was more frustration at the XFL than, no, I mean, it's a startup league, so not everything's gonna be
Right.
perfect, but it just sucks because the whole thing is predicated on the headset's working because there's no huddle. So if
Exactly.
the headsets don't work, then you can't run plays basically because there's no way. Like if you don't know, I guess I could have known, but the play clock's really short, so the headsets go out. I mean, that's just a part of football, so I could have handled it a little better probably.
Right. Makes sense. No, I can't even, I'd be pretty frustrated in that situation too.
Yeah.
So, are you excited for the new management in the XFL and just the future of the XFL?
Oh, Chad, can you hear us?
Oh, sorry. I thought I've been speaking.
Oh, no
I
worries.
muted myself. Yeah, so I was just talking to Norm Chow the other day, and he was really excited. He thought that it was great. He talked to some of the higher ups there. Thought it was going to come back in full force. And I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is like the perfect guy to own it because he was one of these players. I mean, he played in the CFL before his acting career and really fought. And then I think he's going to be willing to put in the time. It sounds like he seems like he has financial resources, which will be able to sustain it. And assuming there's not another pandemic, I think it'll be a great league, just like it would have been.
And then, can you walk us through scoring the first touchdown for the Wildcats in franchise history? How was that?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I think I only scored like one or two rushing touchdowns in 3 years of starting in college. So to run was definitely different. I think it's something I've been really working on. I played with Kyler Murray for a season and a half, off season in the NFL, and that I'm not even remotely on the same level of an athlete as him, but it does make you kind of think that you got to be able to move around. So it was something I really worked on, running and moving, and I was happy to be able to run one in.
Right,
sweet.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what are some things you've been doing lately just to kind of stay sharp, stay in shape?
Yeah, I have a quarterback coach out here. He was my high school quarterback coach, and I work with him once a week. And then there's actually another receiver from the XFL, Nelson Spruce. And then I have two other guys that recently were released from NFL teams that all live in Los Angeles. I'm based in Los Angeles, so I try to throw a couple times a week. I lift four times a week now. I was doing a different program through – I had like a bit of a shoulder problem after this league, so I got like a new therapist. Actually through Andrew Luck, who had – he went over to Germany and Amsterdam to work with these guys that have a very kind of different way of doing things. And so I've been working with them over Zoom, and they gave me like a pretty comprehensive shoulder program and weightlifting program that I've been doing. I actually really like it. I think I'm somebody that's like sampled a ton of different training methods. Mm-hmm. I did an off season. I did one. I went down where Drew Brees worked out. I went to where Brady worked out, and just, I think you got to find what works for you. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what works for me. And I'm really happy to have found something that I feel good about changing. Right. So I've been doing that, whatever. Yeah. Four times a week. And then I lift, I always do footwork with my coach, and I try to throw however much. I do some of the Tom House like shoulder exercises. I don't know if you guys are familiar with mm-hmm. those. I know he's kind of blowing up. He's got an app coming out supposedly for baseball.
That's cool.
It'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's definitely important just to kind of find what fits you and what you're comfortable with, because that's when you're gonna make some good progress.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you kind of just talked about it a little bit, but do any other like NFL players you've played with or past XFL players reach out and train with you, or are you training any like young athletes or helping any young athletes want to go to the next level?
I've like volunteered coached in for my quarterback coach, who was a head coach, and I write. He's got like a weekly monthly newsletter that I write a little blurb in. I'll occasionally train with some of his guys, but no, I haven't been personally coaching anybody. And mostly, yeah, it's just kind of through the grapevine. There's not quarterbacks are always looking for receivers. Receivers are always looking for quarterbacks, and LA seems to have a high proportion of receivers, and there's some quarterbacks too, but I feel like there's always more receivers than quarterbacks. So I've just kind of found to kind of just through word of mouth, and honestly, LA's been, most of the fields have been closed, so it's just kind of finding a place to go, and then there's normally like a bunch of people there. So, yeah.
Right. So then putting it back, going back to a couple of years ago. So what was your pre-draft process like? Coming out of Princeton and everything like that.
Yeah. So I was always wanted to play in the NFL. There's not a lot of Ivy League quarterbacks that do. So I applied for jobs, in the fall. Had a job in consulting, and then that senior I graduated basically in the winter after the season. Mm-hmm. And I just went full scale training. I went out to a academy place. I got signed by an agent, and then they basically put you up in a hotel at a facility where you just train nonstop for 6 weeks, lift like 6 days a week, work with a quarterback coach 3 days a week, like they do film study, like prep you basically for your pro day, work with sports psychologists, which I think that was like the most helpful thing of the whole thing, because I'd never spent any time with them, and I would really highly recommend that or reading Mind Gym by Gary Mack for anybody interested in it, because I think it's such a mental – quarterback's such a mental position, and like mm-hmm. you – basically anybody can go throw, right? But like are you going to be able to throw when people are watching you and there's a ton of pressure on you? And I think honing that is really, really important. Some people are – you have a ton of confidence naturally. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks I feel like are generally really confident people. I don't know that I'm like overly confident. So I think that was really good for me to kind of just make sure you're thinking the right thoughts. Like literally you can think wrong thoughts, think right thoughts. So that was really good. And then whatever, I had my pro day at Princeton with three of my friends. I had a good pro day. I didn't get invited to the combine, which was frustrating. But you can't control yeah, you obviously can't control that. So I was pumped that I got signed after the draft. Because a lot of guys that were at the combine didn't even get signed after the draft. Right. So, yeah, and then that training camp actually was – I had a ton of good luck because Sam Bradford was hurt. Josh Rosen ended up getting hurt. So I got a ton of reps, which is a ton of fourth quarterbacks in training camps that are undrafted, basically just don't practice and are mm-hmm. just there as a camp arm and get cut. And I got enough reps to prove myself and make the practice squad and then eventually the active roster that year. So that was good fortune, I would say. And then you got to kind of take the good fortune with the bad fortune. It's all about opportunities, and you just got to make sure you're ready for yours. So I would say I hope that I can get another one, but if I don't, I'll be happy with what I had.
Right. And now, did you pick the Cardinals? Because I know a lot of guys will have a couple teams when they go undrafted that they – you know, a couple teams I'll want them. Did you pick the Cardinals or?
Yeah, I did. I did. I was talking with the Chargers and Patriots. I kind of committed to them pretty early in the sixth round. They called me and were like, hey, if you're going to go with the team, if you don't get drafted, will you come to us? I had a really good relationship with their quarterback coach, Byron Leftwich.
Yep.
Who I really think really highly of. And I thought it was a good situation, even though they drafted a quarterback. Because if you're coming in as undrafted, you're more or less eventually going to be competing to be a backup. And they had an older quarterback room. And I kind of saw – I think if the coaching staff had stayed, I could have eventually become a backup there if everything had stayed the same. So I think it was a good decision, honestly. It was a good place for me to land. But, yeah, I don't actually know that I had firm offers from anybody else. But I did commit – somewhat early to them because it's a bit like recruiting. Like it's a game of musical chairs at the end of the draft. I wasn't like the most sought after guy. Some guys get $50,000 signing bonus because I was not one of those people, but you only need one, luckily.
That's interesting. I didn't know that's how that worked with undrafted players. But how is it being around Kyler Murray and Brett Hundley?
It was great. I learned a lot from both of them. Brett is a grade-A human being, and he's been around a lot of really good players with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. And he was from Arizona, which is cool. Know all the local players. Great, too. He's like, I think he's like, just athletically – to just kind of walk out on a practice field and throw really, really
accurate. Oh, we're losing a little, Chad.
Move really, really quick. I don't know. Most guys that are that fast. Oh, hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, we got you. Hello? We got you now, yeah. You're breaking up a little.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Sorry about that. I just said, I think I cut off with – Kyler was one of the most impressive people I've seen athletically. Most guys that are that fast cannot throw that well. Most people that can throw that well are not that fast. I mean, he's like as accurate as they come and as quick as a cat. It's pretty ridiculous. So it's not surprising that he's having a lot of success.
Yeah. And is there anything kind of being around Kyler Murray that you've noticed has been different from any other quarterback or any other player that just makes him as elite that he is? Is there any other factors that, that you think of?
He obviously works hard and has worked hard his whole life and loves the games. Had his dad was a coach. So I think if anything, it's like getting on it early. Like his dad was a quarterback coach. And I think he's always trained well and had been on good teams and played well, but his is somewhat unique. Like he's pretty uniquely talented. Like most people you'd think, most people have really worked really hard. Like James Winston is one of the hardest workers you'll ever see in like pounds, but he's still like Kyler is like genetically really, really impressive despite not having like the standard stereotypical height of a quarterback when you can move and throw like that. And how you get accurate is a really difficult thing to do. but he has good mechanics. So whatever you have good mechanics, I
asked him. Oh, we're losing you again.
He said his dad apps work when you're young. Hello? Yep, you got me?
Got you now.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
So sorry, I was saying when he was young, his dad was his coach, and I would say he said he learned from his dad. So have a dad that played NFL quarterback or get a good quarterback coach when you're really young. You can start young. Think how to throw a ball. There is a right way and a wrong way. He's got very good mechanics.
Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm okay. Here. I'm just up. Okay. Sorry, that was the end of my statement.
No, yeah, because it was just like lagging in and out. No worries. But so now going back to, you know, when you're a high school senior and junior, so what was your recruiting process like? And is there any advice that you would have for guys who are going through that right now?
Yeah, so I had a pretty weird one because I was actually committed to Vanderbilt for like 6 months back when James Franklin was a coach. They were my first offer. They offered me in the spring of my junior. I wouldn't say that I did it right at all. And I really understand like the pressure kids feel. And like, I think getting offered a scholarship was like the greatest, one of the happiest days of my life, honestly. I really couldn't believe it. I would say, if I did it again, I don't know that I would do it totally differently. It's just, it's a really tough process because you have professional salesmen, right, whose jobs depend on getting you to go to the school you want to go to, the school that they're coaching at, and you're kind of a 17-year-old kid. I would say just kind of stay true to yourself, figure out where you think you're going to be happiest, and you got to do with committing really late. And it was this year I got to start 3 years at Princeton playing in the NFL. But I would say, yeah, don't discount anybody. Take everybody's call and just be happy with what you can get and try not to feel too much pressure. I just remember getting so stressed. My parents were so stressed, like, oh, what should you do? And just kind of any offer you get, be really excited about.
And then, so I was looking at your stats in college and just to try to get some questions. And I was wondering, what do you think was the biggest reason for your big jump in play from your junior to senior year?
A ton of things. I got asked this actually in the pre-draft like process by a bunch of people, because I don't think I was on people's radars, and I definitely improved as a player. I think I made a real point to get better every year. And that spring, I got to take the spring off from school because going into the fifth year, that's just how the Ivy League works. You have to take a semester off. So I got a lot more time to train, which definitely helped. But if you're a quarterback, right, you're a function of the system you're in somewhat. Your stats are a function of the system you're in. So I think the year before I played actually really well. I just didn't have great stats. I split time with another quarterback who's now a fullback in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers. And that can cut into your stats for one, but it didn't really matter. So I would say partly that, and he was hurt the next year. So then he wasn't there. So then I took basically every snap. So just numbers wise, I was going to have more. I think we were honestly a worse team too. We were behind a lot. So we threw the ball a ton. And my coach before was a head coach. He's not a head coach at Brown now. My offensive coordinator was offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State and at Rutgers. And maybe we threw it a little bit more than we had in the years past. And then we also, it was kind of a perfect storm of things because we also had two guys that are now tight ends in the NFL, which I don't think we had the years before. So when quarterbacks have really good year, like Joe Burrow, for instance, right? He has this like statistically unbelievable year. He was a really good player the year before. Just nobody realized it because he didn't have the pieces around him. And then suddenly when he has Justin Jefferson, Edwards-Helaire, and all the other like great players, great coach, he's a really good player. It shines through. So I think you just kind of got to stay with the process for quarterbacks. I've had plenty of years where my stats are like horrible, and then you have years where your stats are really good and you're maybe playing marginally better, but sometimes the best play is a third down, whatever, throw the swing route, get 2 yards. Like that's actually good football. And if you do that enough, keep doing that. Eventually you'll have a real breakthrough when you get in the right system.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice. Sometimes you got to take the check downs and yeah, definitely. So we've had a couple other Ivy League guys on our podcast, and they've talked about the balance between academics and athletics. So what was that like for you while being the starting quarterback and then obviously having to balance that with academics?
Yeah, I think it's really hard. It's really challenging, which is good though. I mean, you want to be challenged, I think. I think a lot of guys that just go to school to just play football, you don't grow as much as a person, and it doesn't benefit you later in your life to just play football through college, right? I mean, that's not the purpose of college. Is most people are not going to get to play professional. And even if you do get to play professional, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to make enough money to live, mm-hmm. to not ever have to work. So learning how to be a critical thinker is really important, and learning how to balance time management is just life. So I think being disciplined, it takes a ton of discipline, it takes structure. You got to be on time. You got to be accountable. Balancing all those, but it was definitely not easy. And I think, just like I said, taking a year off from school did help me improve probably that last year. So I just got to focus on training and writing a thesis, but it was manageable. I mean, a lot of guys on my team had worse grades in the spring when you didn't have football, tons of guys, because they just kind of relaxed. It's kind of surprising, but you get a structure of football, right? Or you're regimented every week, you know how much work you have to do. You do your work. When you don't have structure, it can sometimes everything can kind of fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes guys, like you said, they get just too relaxed. I've seen it a ton throughout college and as a coach. When they don't have football as that regimen, they relax and kind of, you know, slack off in the classroom.
Yeah, no doubt.
So something I'm curious about as a quarterback and as a coach. So what's your favorite passing concept?
Like just first and 10, or like shot, or like third down, red zone. I don't think I could just like pick one.
Yeah, no. Let's say it's third and 10. Third and 10, you're on the 45-yard line.
Okay. Oh, God. There's not a lot of good calls there. Not a lot of stuff you love. I would say this route that they had with the Bucks called Congo, that was a guy busting through the middle. So trips right, out of trips, the number three can kind of take the middle or break to the like skinny seam if it's too high. The number two does like he does an out versus cover one and cover four, but he hooks it up versus anything else, and then the third guy on the outside has a dig. And then on the backside, you can either tag like a turn or a post curl or come back. I just think it gives you a lot of options there's not a lot of good calls there. And
right.
I love when the receivers have to read the coverage and make a decision based on what it is. I love stuff like that. That's somewhat complex, takes time, takes like getting to know guys, takes feel. So I think those end up being the best. Obviously you can't just like run out there and run that play. You got to practice it a ton of times, but I think it's actually got answers. The Bucks are good about having most plays. The Arian system, most plays have answers versus 1, 2, 3, 4 to a man.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know what you mean. I love having those plays where the receivers have options and they gotta be on the same page as the quarterbacks. That's why I love the guys who have the good football IQ and can go find those open spots.
Yeah.
So do you have any pregame rituals or routines you do before when you're preparing for the games?
Yeah, I more or less do the same things as I always did in high school. I come a couple hours before, I get my script. I lay down in like a really dark room, basically, so I can just like rest, close my eyes, and then I would look through the whole – I did this the night before too, read every – passing every play that's in the game and like think about where you would go versus different coverages. So if this guy's here, like, you gotta like close your eyes and like think about where the guys are gonna be, and then the defense over it. I think you kind of get better at doing that as you go. But I would do that then the day of the game, just kind of lay there. I wouldn't do it for every call, but definitely for the third downs and all the red zone, just visualize yourself going through it. Some guys, like Ryan Griffin, he would hitch through every play on like Friday. Like, okay, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. And I would just personally like to just do it in my head, lay down, think about it. I would do that, and then I would stretch while I was doing that. Nothing too crazy. It's basically like a meditation, and then go play.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a favorite drill? I know it's like a lot of quarterbacks will have a certain drill that they really like that they've been doing for a while. Do you have a favorite drill that you like to do, whether it's in season or out of season?
Yeah, I don't actually love quarterback drills, because I like doing stuff that's really similar to what you do in the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to like, so the drills that I like are the most similar to stuff you do in a game. I think the wave drill is pretty similar. That's quick. So you drop, quick couple movements, throw. And then what's the quarterback drill I've been doing since high school? Supposedly it's a Brady drill. I don't know if that's true or not for my coach, but you drop, sit, five, hitch up, left, hitch up, right, hitch up, and then throw. Or like I've always liked where guys come at you and you spin out and throw, or guy come at you, you have to hitch up and go under, or you got to go around, protect the ball. Like you can't work on ball security enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that a lot.
If you could go back and say one thing to yourself before college, what would you say? Any like advice to yourself, or just anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just enjoy it. You only get to be in college once, so make sure you're enjoying being a student, being a football player, getting to go to school, and like being a college kid. I think it ends really fast. It's really just like a tiny period of your life, so really enjoying it, I think, is important.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought of a question too. I forgot to ask it earlier. So what was it like being around Larry Fitzgerald? I know I saw that picture you have with him on your Instagram, you guys hugging. So what was that like just being around him? Obviously one of the best receivers of all time, and seems like just a great guy to be around.
Yeah, he really is. He knew the guy to throw to him classically. So I went to his house both off seasons. Before I really even knew him the first time. So I'd only been there for like 2 months. He called me out of the blue, like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing next week? Like, I'm just training. So I flew to his house in Minnesota, and I got to spend a lot of time with him there. So I think I got to know him a lot better then. He's a great human being, a really good role model for young players in the NFL, like both as a football player, like getting your work done, and off the field. Like, he's a really smart businessman. I think people would be surprised to know how many different business deals he's in and all the people he knows. He's like a very intellectually curious guy. And I think he's a great ambassador for the NFL too, obviously. Mm. I think the Cardinals really miss him. He's like as good as they come. I mean, catching the ball and to be able to transition your game as he's gotten older and still be an asset to an NFL team is really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely has been one of my favorite to watch throughout the years, that's for sure. What are your plans after football is all over for you?
I'm not sure. I'm still figuring that one out. But I could see myself going back to some sort of graduate school. I don't know what. Hopefully I can be one of the lucky ones that just gets to play football for your whole life. But
yeah.
If that doesn't happen, then I'm not entirely sure. Probably not going into coaching anymore, but it's okay.
No, I was just curious. I like to ask guys that question. But also just a kind of another fun type of question. Do you have any personal hobbies that you really like to do in your free time or anything like that?
Yeah. I've tried to become a little better golfer. I've actually gotten really into surfing. I'd done it some when I was younger, but I've had a lot more time. And I would say I love doing that. It's been like a good thing to keep you get in flow, you know, where you're like feel like you're in a game. You can really get that surfing, actually, which is pretty crazy to me. And just like learning a new skill that's really challenging has been great.
That's awesome. But that's all we have. Thanks again for taking the time to hop on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, if there's anything else, if I can ever help you guys, let me know.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.